He is the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created. Things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. Check this out. He himself is before what? All things. And in him, all things hold together. Now I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you ain't do it. You see, I want you to understand. When you understand who Jesus is, the image of the invisible God, and all that he has done in your life, don't ever walk around like a peacock with your feathers spread out talking about all that you've done, because I want you to know the Lord is the only one that held you together. There was a time you wanted to fall apart, but I thank God, Deacon Miller, that the Lord is the one who held us together. When we thought we couldn't make it, Violet, the Lord held us together. Angel, when we thought it was too much for us, the Lord held us together. We know that if it had not been for the Lord holding us together, where in the world would we be? We might be in a sane asylum. We might be all toe up. We might be all messed up. But through what the Lord has done, Reverend Rose, he's holding us together.
Thank you, Lord.
And since he's holding us together, we can't help but thank him. We can't help but praise him. You see, so what Paul was letting these folk know, that don't y'all ever get it twisted because of the fact that you ain't hold yourself together. I don't care how well words can roll off your tongue. I don't care how articulate you are. I don't care how many letters you have after your name. I don't care how much money you got in the bank. I don't care if you have the biggest house on the hill. I don't care if you drive the most expensive car. I want you to realize you did not hold yourself together. If it had not been for God's grace and mercy, if it had not been for the Lord stepping in right on time, if it had not been for the Lord rocking you, well, would so, all you got to do is just flip back over the pages in your life. There was a time for all of us. We felt like throwing in. Some of us got the towel in our hands. Some of us had our hands cocked. Got up enough energy. We held it real tight. We were getting ready to let it go. But the Lord held us. He wouldn't let you let it go. He wouldn't let you give up on yourself. He wouldn't let you say, I can't go any further. But the Lord, what he ended up telling you to do is put it down. Put your trust in me. Lay all of your weights upon me. Watch and see how I'm going to bring you through. And when we put our trust in the Lord, I want you to know the Lord will do amazing things. Deacon Aldridge, I want you to understand that sometimes it seems like we can't take that next step. But you know what? If it left up to us, we couldn't take the next step. But since the Lord has held us together, I now can take that next step. And once I take that step, the next step gets a little easier. The next step gets a little easier because it's the God's grace and mercy that propels me to move forward. Even when I think I can't take another step. So as we see this, there's something I need y'all to understand. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, stay with us. Verse 18 says something real good. He is the head of the body. Now that he is Jesus. So I'll just read it that way. Jesus is the head of the body. Now what body is that? The church. He is the what? Beginning. Firstborn from the dead. So that he might come to have what? In what? We wonder why sometimes churches don't prosper. We understand prosperity ain't just about dollars. It's about the people of God being successful in our endeavors. But folk hear the prosperity ministry and it's gotten tainted because folk always think it's always about the Benjamins. It ain't always about the Benjamins. The Benjamins is just one of the tools we utilize in the church. But what we recognize when we talk about a church being prosperous, meaning that you are flowing, that you are growing, that you are moving forward, the reason that churches are not being prosperous is because the Lord ain't the head. If I make out that I'm the most important thing up in this building, we ain't going nowhere. And I won't be here real long. When we think that the church revolves around us, Nicole, that church ain't going nowhere. When we put our agenda before the Lord's agenda, we ain't going nowhere. If we got to have it our way and no other way, the church ain't going
nowhere.
If we say we going to expand and do things here at BRBC, and we say it's what we want and God ain't got a hand in it, I want you to know that we ain't going to have one whole dog because it's the Lord. Don't build the house. The house will not be built. God has to do it all. Paul is letting those know who have gotten it twisted that the most significant individual in the church, the one who is the mind for the church, the one who saw the church in the invisible and made it visible, the one who is the cornerstone of the church, is the head of the church. The one who paid the ultimate price for the church. The one who saw us at our worst, but still gave his best for the church. Even before one brick was laid in any church in this entire world, it was already in the vision of the one who paid the ultimate price. He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright and morning star. He is the wheel in the middle of the wheel. He is the all in all. He is the good shepherd. He is the one who can calm the storm. He is the one who gave sight to the blind. He is the one who allowed the lame to walk. He is the one that causes demons to tremble. He is the one who can cause everything to stand still. He is the one who picked us up out the miry clay. He is the one that put us back together again. He is the one who gave us a name, which is a heavenly name. He is the one who wipes all our tears. He is the one that rocks us to sleep at night. He is the one that keeps us at peace. He is the one that allows us to stand up straight. He is the one who built the hedge around us. He is the one that covered us in his blood. He is the one that allows us to come into the presence of the Father with boldness. He is the one who saw something in us when we couldn't see it in ourselves. And I'm asking you, what is his name? His name is Jesus, the Savior of the world, who loves us more than we'll ever understand. And when you think about the goodness of the Lord, you realize that there is no other head but Jesus. And what Paul was letting them folk know, if you try to remove Jesus from being the head, your church is stuck in yesterday. Brother Penn, it's like having a four-wheel drive car and you are riding on ice. You ain't going
nowhere.
And if you go somewhere, it ain't where you want to go because you can't handle it on that ice. You see, and what we have to understand, y'all, I don't care how long you've been in the church. I don't care if you put one of what you consider to be the original bricks in the church. The only one who was the head of the church is the only one who paid the ultimate price for the church. None of us died for the church. And guess what? And if you did, you ain't get back up on. You see, you got to understand something. It says he was the first one to get up. Now, some folk might get it twisted. Well, Nazareth rose from the dead in 4 days. There were a couple of folk who were dead that Jesus saw, and they got up. And we even go back and look at Elisha, who prayed on a boy and spoke to him. But I want you to know that every last one of them folk who was dead, somebody had to tell them to get up. Somebody going to work with me. Oh, I feel like preaching this morning. You see, I want you to understand something. That everybody who I just mentioned, somebody had to tell them to what? But I want you to know, nobody went and told Jesus. Oh, somebody going to work with me. Why? Because they didn't take his life from him. He gave his life for us. And when he gave his life for us, the sin of the world was nailed to the cross. And he said, all right, I'm going to give it to you for a minute. And then once he gave it to him, hey, you know what he did? He said he went back and snatched it back. He said, this ain't for you to have. You might think you have it, but you don't have it. I'm going to let you mess with it for a minute. You see, because death, I want y'all to know, was the undisputed champion. Whoever he knocked out stayed knocked out. And you know, we see it every time in sports. Those who consider to be the most invincible. Going back to Sonny Liston. They thought he was invincible. But Ali Captain, we know about that. Mike Tyson, folks thought he was invincible. He was on the ground looking for his mouthpiece. The New England Patriots back in 2008. Everybody thought they were invincible. But I want you to know the Giants beat them up. Everything that we think is invincible. I want you to know eventually they ended up with at least a loss. But death up until the time of Jesus was invincible. He has a record that stands over centuries. And it was standing for so long. And the enemy felt that if I get death on Jesus, that's going to be the final knockout punch. And I want you to know, Sister Buffett, that when death knocked him down, death thought Jesus was down for the 10 count. You see, because whenever you get knocked out in boxing, if they reach 10, you lost. So the enemy started counting on Jesus. He started counting on Friday afternoon. He gave him a one count on Friday, a two count Friday night, a three and a four count Saturday morning, a five and a six on Saturday night. He got to eight late Saturday, got to nine early Sunday morning, but on the crack of dawn, before he could get 10 out, I want you to know that Jesus got back up, snatched the life back from death, kicked death in the butt, get up out of here. I am who I am. I am the head. I am first. There was none like me before me. There's not one like me after me. I am the undisputed champ. Nobody's going to knock me out. And I want you to know, since the Lord is the head of the church, my brothers and my sisters, you got to understand something.
All right.
Who's first? Because if Jesus ain't first, you know where we going? Now, y'all, all right, see, don't start mumbling now. If Jesus is not first, we ain't going
nowhere.
Thank you. The church is only the church when Jesus is the head. I love folk to love their pastor because the pastor loves you. I am the leader that God has called him. But if I'm going to be a great leader, I need to first be a great father. And even though it says BRBC, Pastor Cook, I want you to understand something. Pastor Cook ain't in charge. Jesus is in charge. I take direction from Jesus. I'm guided by Jesus. And if I allow myself to think I'm all that, a bag of chips, two sodas, Elaine, with a shake on the side, Roscoe, either chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, Rocky Road, you're picking. I want you to understand today, the church won't be going
nowhere.
Just like the pastor ain't in charge, I look up at the ceiling. Because if I start looking around, somebody's going to say, oh, he was just looking at me. Listen, y'all. When we understand who's first, then we understand who is holding us together. When we understand who's first, we know who rescued us. When we understand who's first, we recognize that he is in the image of the invisible God. When we understand who's first, we realize and recognize that the Lord is dwelling in this place because he is the one who has reconciled us back to him. You see, my brothers and sisters, whenever we come up in the house of the Lord, the one thing we don't ever want to do is come here and be quiet. This never ought to be a place where you're able to hear mice run across the floor. Thank God there's no, don't get nervous, my brothers and sisters. Ain't no mice up in here. It's just an analogy. Church. Come on back, y'all. Come on back. Church ought to be a place that's lively.
Thank you.
Reverend Rose, can I use an example? You know, going back in the day, which ain't a long day for some, you knew there was three parties on that street. And you decided to walk by each before you went in. And as you got to the door of the first party, you heard a little music. And what did you do?
Go to the next door.
You get to the second party. You hear a little, hey. Woo, music. And then you say, you know what? But when you got to that third party, you can hear the windows vibrating. Dun, 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 dun. You heard folks blowing whistles. You heard some folks say, party over here. Party over here. And you, guess what? You know what you did? When you went in the door, you went in dancing. But I want you to understand something. We are children of the King of Kings. And I want you to know, ain't no party like the Holy Ghost party. But the Holy Ghost party don't stop. Ain't no party like the Holy Ghost party. But the Holy Ghost party don't stop. Understand who we serve,
yeah, Jesus.
And who's the head of our lives,
Jesus.
Who's first,
Jesus.
Who stays first,
Jesus.
Will always be first,
Jesus.
We understand that when we come up in this place,
yes.
We can say, ain't no party like the Holy Ghost party, because the Holy Ghost party don't stop. Are you working with me?
Yeah.
That's how come Paul was letting the Gnostics understand something.
All right.
It's bigger than what you think it is.
Yeah.
It appears to be simple. But I want you to know there's a whole lot to simplicity.
All right.
If you're complicated, then somebody ain't going to get it.
All right.
But the Lord made it so simple. That a child can come and say, what must I do to be saved? And you know why they get excited and come? Because you know what we say?
Ain't no party like the Holy Ghost party, because the Holy Ghost party don't stop.
Oh. Don't feel uncomfortable. Because some of y'all have been out there doing that.
Yeah.
I ain't got to go no further.
Yeah. Say that again.
Yeah, you done did it.
Say that, Glenn. Say that.
But I want you to understand something.
Bring
it
home, boy.
If David... David,
yeah,
can dance before the Lord.
All right. Yeah.
If David realized,
yeah, all right,
all that I have,
yeah,
I got to praise him.
Yeah.
Then why do we come to church? We have the stiff upper lip. Get mad if some folk clap too much.
Tell it, Pastor. Tell us that.
Yes, say that. Say that.
Look at some folk when they start hollering. Oh, child, just sit down. Oh, my goodness. Why does it take all that?
Say that.
And then you know what we tell them? You just don't know where the Lord brought me from. You see, because when I used to go to this party,
yeah,
some of y'all used to get zooted morning, cootie brown.
Yeah.
Didn't remember the next morning,
yeah,
what you did the night before.
Come on, man.
But now that I'm having a Holy Ghost party,
yeah,
I recognize everything I've done.
Yeah.
I can remember it all.
Yeah.
Because I'm in my right mind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the Lord brought me to where I am right now. So when I praise God,
yeah,
I ain't going to ever worry about waking up,
yeah,
with a hangover,
yeah,
and a headache.
All right.
The only thing that's hanging over is the Lord continuing to bless me, guide me, and direct me. Because he's been mighty good to me. And that's why I know who's first his name is.
Jesus.
Can I get it one more time?
Yeah. Ain't nobody like a Holy Ghost party, because a Holy Ghost party don't stop.
Yeah. Woo. All right, come on back, come on back. You see? Lord, I mean, phone going to be ringing today. Pastor was up in there jumping. Talking about ain't no party like a and a Holy Ghost party.
Right.
When you know. Because the way verse 18 is, Jesus has to get first place. And it says he gets first place in what?
Everything.
You mean to tell me not a few things?
All things.
Violent. There ain't a couple of things he ain't getting first in.
All things.
I'm sorry. Violet gave me the hand and said all things.
All things.
When we understand that we couldn't breathe.
Right.
Now, that really became real for me back on August 16th, 2013.
All right.
When I'm just to get a little air.
Right.
You know, after the Lord woke me up, I was breathing all right, nice and normal. You know what I realized? There is not one thing in me.
All right.
That God shouldn't get first place for.
All right.
God's got to be first in everything. If I can move my hands, if I can stomp my feet, if I can see, hear, taste, and smell, whatever I'm capable of doing, the first thing I'm going to do is say, Lord, thank you. You see, I want you to understand something. Even in our lives today, when we know all the Lord has done for us and brought us through, some folk get up in the morning, go all throughout their day, Reverend Rose, and never give God a minute. And then there's some folk who say, well, you know, I'm just so busy. I just don't have time to do that stuff because I just don't have time. You know, I put it to you like this. When the Father looked down here on earth, shaking his head. I'm just using my spiritual imagination and using a good example here. He said to his son, come here. Son, look at that. Look at that. Son, I need you to go and redeem them. Imagine if Jesus said, Daddy, I ain't got time.
Think about it.
We don't feel like a Holy Ghost party right now.
I know that's right.
That's right. They say bring it up.
If we
truly
want to have an experience like no other, you got to keep him first.
That's right.
My advice and my challenge to you is when you get up in the morning, when you first open your eyes, the first words out your mouth ought to be, thank you, Lord. And once you thank them that morning, you ought to take some time before you do anything else, read from his word, have a prayer. And then from there, you will find your perspective on that day will change in such a way you can't even begin to explain. And you'll be able to make it through whatever bumps come along. Yeah, it's going to hurt you for a second, but you understand that, Lord, you're first. And since you're first, what I'm dealing with right now, Lord, before I tell anybody, before I go to anybody, Lord, I'm going to you first. Because I know that that you will supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory. No matter what is going on in my life, you told me you would never leave me nor forsake me. Lord, I'm going to keep you first in my life. I wouldn't be here right now if you hadn't been first. And Lord, and as I keep you first, I start to see how you begin to blossom my life, how you begin to change my life. And as you bless me, Lord, you use me to be a blessing to
someone else.
Who's first?
Jesus.
And if we keep him there, I want you to understand, I don't care what goes on. We gonna make it. I don't care how folk try to block our blessing. They will not be successful. Because I want you to understand something. That when you are a child of God and you come in God's house and you let it be known that it ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, and the Holy Ghost party don't stop, and you keep on praising God in the midst of your day, and even when you leave this place, you continue to praise the Lord in your life. I'm here to tell you today, the Lord will do the impossible. He will open doors. He will block other stuff. He will make a way out of no way. He will always be there right on time because he is a mighty good God. And since we know who's first, we ain't got no shame in praising him. We will not be quiet. We will not sit down on him. We will rise to our feet. We will praise his holy name because he is a mighty good God. Has he been good to you? Is he first in your life? Is he the one blessing you right now? Somebody ought to thank him. Somebody ought to praise him. But I want you to know, ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, because a Holy Ghost party don't stop.
Yes.
You see, my eye, don't sit down. We get ready to close it up.
Thank you, Lord.
Let us all rise. What have you been struggling with, my brother? What have you been struggling with, my sister? The reason why we have some struggles is because Jesus ain't first. Can I help you with this analogy? You can make a good pound cake by putting all the ingredients together. But then you took it and you put it in the oven. You came back and checked it an hour later. It looked like the same way you put it in there. You know why? Because you didn't do what you needed to do first. Set that oven, put it on the right temperature, and Deacon Davis, wait for it to beep. So that way you know it's ready. But in our lives, and guess what? Now that we're saved, we know better. But all of us have been guilty of putting a cake in a cold oven and never turning it on. And then wondering why you don't have nothing but a cake batter. It's time to change today. Who's first?